take on enemies to offense. The thought of war blows my mind. War has caused unrest within the younger generation. Induction, then destruction. Who wants to die? It ain't nothing but a heartbreaker. War. And got one friend, that's the Undertaker. Oh, war has shattered many a young man's dreams. Made him disabled, bitter and mean. Life is much too short and precious to spend fighting war these days. War can't give life, it can only take it away. Oh, war.
WMFO in Medford, Real Horror Show with Christopher Winston Kidd here with you till 7. Star Trek in the background, Wrath of Khan, Surprise Attack. Talk about a great war movie.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, Khan, it's all about revenge. And the best villains are the ones that, villains don't really think they're the villains. You know, you might have somebody that's a little crazy.
That's right. I mean, that's the old saying, we're all the villain in somebody else's story.
That's true. Yeah, I agree with that.
And whoever you are, you're right.
You're on mic 3 now, huh?
I am on mic 3.
Oh, I got to put you back up. There we go.
There switch we go. Mic can on me. Oh, now go. I can hear you.
There you go. I was wondering what was going on there.
Yeah.
Nice. So, Khan basically, Kirk drops him off on a planet after the space seed episode. And then his whole family dies. Yeah, and then his whole family dies. So, of course, Khan's mad at him.
And Khan being the superhuman, genetically modified, smarter, faster, stronger.
Yeah.
I mean, he's effectively the Chris Earl of Star Trek.
Oh, you think so? Yeah. Thank you. I like Khan. I think very, very. I thought probably one of the best Star Trek villains is Khan. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't really consider him a villain because you want him to win, kind of. You're like, yeah. Kirk should feel a little bit of pain. He killed his wife.
Well, I mean,
we recognize Kirk more because we've seen the series and we want him to win and his buddies, but we also get a little, you feel bad for him. He's tragic. He's a classic tragic figure.
Yes, he's a tragic figure who's gone through a lot, and now he's looking for revenge.
Yeah. There's bugs in that one, too. Chekhov gets a bug in the ear.
Yeah, it was an ugly bug.
Yeah. Too bad Nicole Kidman wasn't around to eat it.
She would have saved Chekhov a lot of pain and agony from that.
Yeah. I would have liked to see Nicole Kidman, save Chekhov and then, carry him out. You know, in this day and age, you know. She could pick Chekhov up, no problem, and just run with him, you know?
Do a fireman carry over his shoulder, even though he's twice her size.
Yeah, that's right. Even though she's, you know, like a giraffe, weighs probably 105, she can fireman carry a man.
Absolutely.
In 2020, what is it, 2022?
2022.
Yeah.
And
it's almost over, I don't even know.
Be reverse roundhouse kicking Khan on the way out.
Yeah, Yeah, she could single-handedly take out Khan, his crew, Kirk, everyone.
There's no question about that.
It could be Star Trek 17, Nicole Kidman eats bugs and kicks everyone's ass.
For sure, for sure.
Hot Australians. How about, what's her name from Wolf of Wall Street? Margot Robbie. She's Australian too, isn't she? I'd watch her do anything. Eat bugs, pizza, a man. I don't care. I'd watch her do anything.
She's done some really good movies.
Yeah.
I respect her acting.
That's the first thing I think of when I think of Margot Robbie. Excellent actress. And then maybe the TNA.
Yeah.
As a distant ninth or tenth, her mind is number two for me.
Yeah.
Her acting experience and mind would be number two. Three, how she feels about the environment.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What are the... who she's voting for, of course, number
of
four.
Course.
Of course. Who she's voting for. What band
in
she
Australia.
Listens to. Yeah. Who are some of the hot Australian actors and actresses? Well, we know about... We don't want to talk about, like, the boys. We don't care about them. But you got Hemsworth Jackman and Liam Hemsworth, Mel Gibson.
I mean,
hot Australian actresses.
The best part of Hugh Jackman is the bromance with Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, that's true.
Who's a Canadian?
He's Canadian, right? Which is kind of nice, seeing him get along. There's some people on here I don't know, hot Australian actresses. Catherine Langford, Ruby Rose, you know any of those?
No.
Phoebe Tonkin, she sounds like a Tonka truck. Claire Holt, she sounds like a... I don't know. I don't know any of those
Phoebe's
girls.
A very pretty name.
Yeah, I like that name. I like that name. The Australians, they like to fight, don't they? Weren't they all a bunch of prisoners? Didn't the English just be like, let's get rid of these, you know, tall, crazy people and stick them on an island? And then Midnight Oil came out a couple hundred years later.
A direct result.
Yeah. They're geniuses, though, I think. A lot of them. They're either... complete idiots or complete mad geniuses.
Yeah.
Like any of the mad scientists, I would say, Australia.
A mad scientist with an Australian accent is much more believable.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things you've never seen in any film, horror or otherwise, is a mad scientist with a southern drawl.
That's true.
Doesn't work.
Yeah.
You're not seeing it.
Yeah. Be like, southern drawl. I need you to check out these litmus configurations.
Yeah. You know, that, and you also don't
that
see
that their
him.
Molecule ain't hitting up right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And you also don't see what's that? Evil geniuses with a heavy Brooklyn accent.
No. Yeah. Like the, what's his name there? Michael Rappaport.
Yeah.
Like you need him, like as this evil genius, you know?
That's
he's
not
going to take over the world. Yeah. Michael Rappaport feeding Nicole Kidman bugs on the
and the bugs
on
give
the Enterprise. That's
Nicole,
a movie.
The bugs give Nicole Kidman her superpowers.
Yeah, which is the runs.
And the ability to climb walls and crawl under doors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you process all that food, those bugs in your body? Well, the stomach acids kill anything, right? Pretty much.
I don't know about anything. It's still... When you get salmonella, you get it by ingesting that.
And
the stomach acids don't kill the salmonella.
Yeah. I'd rather just have salmon.
Yeah. Salmon is good.
Salmon is good.
The illa.
But salmon illa.
The illa
really
ruins.
ruins. It turns sushi into danger.
Exactly.
The illa. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about something else to do with... Oh, so the Banshees of Inisherin. It's worth seeing. I think it's going to be... it's going to get some awards. I think it's worth seeing. But it's also kind of a horror movie. And it's interesting to me. It does say a lot. And there was a lot of talking after the movie. You know, and everybody's like, what the hell did I just see? It was like, it was supposed to be this sweet little thing, and it kind of hits you over the head with, like, blunt force. But, we're seeing.
So basically, what I get from what you said about the movie is that it portrays the Irish people as being very stubborn and dull.
Most of them,
to the point
and
where...
And then there's the fiddle players.
I'm going to self-mutilate.
Yeah. And they
praise
it.
To show you that I don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like...
Yeah.
That's the epitome of stupidity.
Yeah.
So the guy was committed anyway.
Yeah, it's good though. I like it. How about Rocky? Would you consider Rocky and Apollo Creed a war? Mano versus Mano? Is boxing warlike? It's soldier versus soldier.
Yeah, I mean, certainly what was that, Rocky III?
Rocky III was that was four. That was against Russia.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was more than mano a mano. It was country versus country.
Yeah, and that's
the height of the Cold War, and Rocky was going to fix it. And he kind of did.
Yeah, that was
it would be Nicole Kidman now. She'd be in the ring with him, wrestling him, eating bugs.
Yeah, she'd only eat bugs while she's in the corner. So give her more power. And then she'd go back out and tell...
Do a Vanity Fair spread. Yep.
Drago said, I must break you. And she's like...
And she's like, I must eat bugs to beat you.
As long as you don't break my nail, we're good.
Yeah.
So...
What do you think hurts worse, a bayonet in the stomach or Agent Orange? I mean, what's in the long run, what do you think's worse? Probably Agent Orange, huh?
Agent Orange.
Yeah, I'd rather take the stab.
Because if you take the stab and you die, you're done there. Yeah. Agent Orange is a long, slow...
Well, bayonet in the stomach, though, too. Painful.
Yeah. Definitely not preferable, but preferable to Agent Orange.
Yeah.
So, if we want to talk about... Let's see... Let's talk about the worst war movie, which was Dunkirk.
You didn't like Dunkirk?
I hated it.
Really? I loved it.
I thought it was pathetic.
Really? How come?
Because it didn't hang together at all. And let's go to the point where you have that for half the movie, some guy in a Spitfire without an engine.
Yeah, that's Bane. Bane was in there. What's his name?
Yeah, is.
Yep.
He's flying around at
Tom Hardy.
At 100 feet off Bane. The ground for half the movie without an engine.
Batman, I have a plan. I'm going to save you, Batman. Batman, I will save you in my Spitfire, Batman.
And it's like, no.
We now know what the Germans have been doing, Batman.
Yeah. But yeah, they go in between the boats, the Spitfire, and the soldiers, right? The three stories?
Yeah.
And they converge eventually.
Yeah, but not the timeline doesn't work.
Yeah, I liked it. See, the music I thought was very creepy too, cuz Hans Zimmer, he does plenty of soundtracks now, but he has these things where it's almost like the Barry Manilow school of songwriting, where there's a crescendo, but then with Barry Manilow there's a payoff and the chorus and everything's like majestic and then it ends. But with Hans Zimmer, he brings it up, but he never quite gets there, and then he starts at the bottom again and then brings it up, never quite get there, so it's always unsettling. Banshees of Inisherin there had some great music in it too. Very good.
And I think the music in war movies is critical.
Yeah. But I enjoyed Dunkirk. I enjoyed 1917 too. Saving Private Ryan, probably the very best beginning of any war movie.
Oh yeah.
Is that Normandy beach run is just amazing.
Yeah, that was really cool.
And you're a gamer, and I remember the, was it Call of Duty game, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't that like the second one, but Medal of Honor? It was Medal of Honor, right?
It might have been Medal of Honor. Somebody out there who plays it can...
It was fantastic. I had it on like PlayStation 2, and I'm like, it was the first game where I'm like, I can't get by the first damn mission. And I was dying left and right in like 10 seconds, 5 seconds, 2 seconds.
I remember I was over at your house and I'm, I I'm an Xbox guy, you're a PS guy.
Yeah.
And you had to walk me through.
Yeah.
Because you let me struggle with it for about an hour where I'm dying every 30 seconds.
Yeah, it was Medal of Honor Frontline is what it was, yeah.
Yeah, and you sit there and say, no, you can't go there. I said, where do you got to go?
Yeah.
After a while,
it was. It's such a great game because you really had to play it and learn.
Yeah.
And that, like, everything you're doing, like 100 different scenarios you're doing are all wrong. And you have to do just this one thing, and it's the only way you're going to make it up the beach.
And that's why I'm sure that's how they came up with the plot for Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah, 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 which was pretty good.
I thought Edge of Tomorrow was a good movie.
Yeah. I think it should have been called, what was it, Live, Die, Repeat, which is what they use for the posters.
Yeah.
I think it should have been called that. Would have been better, I think. I thought Edge of Tomorrow wasn't a great name for the movie.
No.
But those Medal of Honor ones are fantastic. And there was that Modern Warfare one that was just crazy when you're in the airport with the hostages. Oh, yep. My God, that was nuts. I mean, talk about horror in a video game. Basically, you're walking through this airport and, like, all these hostages start getting, like, executed. And it's just crazy. And you have to get out of the airport while it's happening all around you. What was the name? It was Modern Warfare 2, I think, was that one. And that was on PlayStation 2 as well, and Xbox. But yeah, just wild. I'm going to play some Woodpecker from Mars in the background, Faith No More. So if the aliens do come, you...
When the aliens do come, let's get real.
If and when. When the aliens come, do you think they'll be bad and we're all going to... I think there's going to be plenty of people like the Annette Bening in Mars Attacks that throws the bird up into the air, and then the aliens just fry the dove midair, you know, the peace dove. I think there'll be plenty of people that'll be like, yeah, take me away in your spaceship.
Yeah, and all those people will die.
Plenty of people that'll want to kill them.
The interesting thing is there was a documentary about the Department of Defense has... They run scenarios on everything. And there is a scenario that they have run numerous scenarios on alien invasions.
Yes.
In every single scenario...
The aliens win?
The aliens win
in
hours.
Mm.
Not days.
Really?
Hours.
So it's going to be like an afternoon. Like, this could all be done like tomorrow afternoon before Thanksgiving. Yep. We won't even have to see the family.
And so that the plan... is if the aliens attack, they basically take everybody who's in the National Guard and in the Army, and they open up the armory and they say, come grab whatever you can and go run in the hills.
Yeah.
And fight you're going to fight a guerrilla war, because that's the only way. Because if you can... Fight a guerrilla war.
Oh, I got you.
Because if the statistics show... that if you can cause them 10% casualties, they won't stay, even after they've won.
So the attrition is what's going to get them to leave. We're not going to. We have no way we're going to win.
No way we're going to win.
But the attrition, they lose, like, you know, their buddy, you know, Jeff or something.
Yeah, after a certain amount.
Like the aliens' buddy Jeff dies.
It's no longer.
They're like, Jeff's gone. We have to go back to, you know, Venus or wherever.
Right.
Where do you think they would actually come from? It's definitely not in our solar system. It's got to be somewhere further away.
Has to be, because... if it wasn't our solar system, we would have picked up some kind of energetic signature, right?
Wouldn't it be great if it was like Pluto and it came back and they're like, we're pissed.
Pluto's...
Yeah. I'm not a planet anymore. We'll show you.
Make Pluto a planet again.
The Plutonians are going to come in and destroy the Earth. And they're all like purple and stuff and weird looking.
For the record, I am Team Pluto.
I'm Team Pluto. I'd be Team Pluto. I don't know. I think people need a little wake-up call sometimes. Bridge Over the River Kwai, great movie.
Yeah, based on a true story.
Yeah. Alec Guinness in that, blows up the bridge.
Yep.
So good. That's a great war movie. Deer Hunter.
Deer Hunter was great. It's a
lot of horror scenes in that one.
Yeah. A lot of horror scenes.
Yeah.
Best Deer Hunter reference was in the Leslie Nielsen movie.
Naked Gun?
Naked Gun.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. Yeah. I just recently watched Naked Gun a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Where they're walking out laughing out of Deer Hunter.
Yes.
And Deer Hunter was the only movie I saw in the theater when It ended. Everybody walked out. Nobody said a word. Dead silence.
Yeah, I believe it. Very, very,
very impactful.
It's depressing, but it's also hopeful.
Yeah.
Because when you have that ending where, you know, Robert De Niro looks at that deer and he's got him in his sights and he decides to let him go.
Yep.
And you basically see the strength in him and also the fact that he's a changed man because of the war and all the, you know, everything that happened around him with his friends and his family, how it ruined the town he grew up in, everything like that. Just a great movie. One of the best. I'm going to pass by Inglourious Basterds. It was okay. I didn't think, you know, it's a fictional account of what Quentin Tarantino would call a war. I hated the fact that he makes, you know, Hitler die at the end in the theater and, like, he's just rewriting history. And, you know, it's fictional. The beginning's great. That whole scene with the SS officer taking down the French guy when he's looking for his daughters. That was a great scene.
That was
so intimidating.
That was so disturbing.
Yeah, so disturbing.
That was incredible acting.
But to put that in the ranks of, you know, River Kwai and Deer Hunter.
No. I mean, and obviously, I love Quentin Tarantino, but
yeah,
that it doesn't belong there. It's a great movie.
I love him too, but that movie, I think that scene and the scene when they were in the cellar was great too.
Yeah.
When they were having the beers in the cellar with the officers, that was a great scene. But the rest of it was kind of silly to me. And Paths of Glory, great Stanley Kubrick movie. You ever see that?
No.
Kirk Douglas. Oh, it's awesome. Really, really good movie. Yeah, that's an awesome one. Platoon with Charlie Sheen, of course.
Yep.
Before he was banging like everybody on Earth. He was starred in Platoon with William Dafoe and Johnny Depp, directed by Oliver Stone, basically based on Oliver Stone's experience in Vietnam. Pretty good Vietnam movie.
Yeah.
You know, Apocalypse Now, Platoon, and the one we just talked about, Deer Hunter. Great, great Vietnam movies. And there was this period like of 10, 15 years where there was just tons of Vietnam movies being
made. Yeah,
that
was kind of the recovery period.
Yeah, yeah. Dunkirk in there. Schindler's List, great movie. Not a movie you want to really bring a date to, but a great movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's some really scary scenes in that, and Ralph Fiennes is just fantastic in that movie. Super intimidating.
Yep.
Full Metal Jacket, the beginning of that's fantastic.
Yes.
And not so much for me. With the snipers, the sniper scene's okay, but it's just like, yeah, this is England. It's not Vietnam.
Yeah.
You can kind of tell. And Stanley Kubrick is so meticulous in his movies. I just thought he was mailing it in the last half. But that beginning scene with the training sequence and guy going slowly crazy is just pure horror. Just, nuts. Imagine being stuck with that guy. You know, in your platoon?
Yeah.
And, oh, my God. Thin Red Line, I didn't really like very much. Terrence Malick's great director. He's a Syrian and just a great director, but I never really liked Thin Red Line very much. I love The Tree of Life. You ever see that one?
No.
It was Terrence Malick, too. He did that probably about 10, 15 years ago. Brad Pitt's in it and a number of others. But, yeah, Thin Red Line was kind of like Sean Penn shows up and they're about to like climb a hill and then they'll show a picture of a bird and then they'll show a flower and then all of a sudden Adrian Brody shows up and he's doing something and then they'll show, you know, a picture of the water running into a stream. I'm like, what is going on with this movie? And it's like 3.5 hours. So it was trying to be like artsy and also kind of tell a half-assed story. Hurt Locker, great movie. And that's a different war altogether. Talk about the war in Iraq. Hurt Locker, you ever see that? And it won Best Picture. Catherine Bigelow, James Cameron's former wife, did that one. Jeremy Renner, he plays the mine. He diffuses mines.
Yeah.
And oh my God, when he gets that point where he thinks he has one mine, and then all of a sudden there's just a spider around him of all these mines, you're like, this guy ain't getting out of here. It's like, oh my God, such a cool movie. I don't know, man. And what do you think? Being a minesweeper? Or what's another? Would you rather be a minesweeper or the person that has to go through in the tank to sweep the to check out the roads for the, what do they call them, IUDs?
IEDs.
IUDs is for the ladies, right? For the pregnancy.
that's
the IEDs. the UFO. Yeah. Ran or Ran.
Never saw that one.
That's it's Japanese, and it's a samurai, and it's similar to King Lear, and they tell a story in a bunch of different ways. It's pretty good. Lawrence of Arabia, great movie. Very yeah. A little gay, but very good. There's like not one woman in the movie. You no, realize no. that in yeah, Lawrence of Arabia?
Because he was gay.
Yeah, they're all in the desert, and they're just kind of hanging out, bros. Saving Private Ryan, like I said, beginning's great. As soon as Matt Damon shows up and like everybody's covered in dirt except for him with his you know, brand new polished teeth, I'm like, yeah, enough with this movie. Apocalypse Now, just great. Yeah. But you see that Three Billboards in Missouri movie? That guy, the director of The Banshees, did that one too. The one with Frances McDormand. The Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri.
It was I did pretty not good. See that. A
couple years ago. Not bad. This other movie that I saw this week, I saw a verified horror movie this week. I went and saw Smile.
Tell me about that.
Smile was pretty good. It wasn't great. I give it a marginal thumbs up. There was another movie. I showed this over the years at my movie fest. It was a movie called It Follows, which I thought was a great horror movie. It came out about 10 years ago. Smile is very similar to it.
Really? Because It Follows was... That's the one where you got the...
Yeah.
It was a sexual disease.
That yes.
You could only see the bad guy when
yes,
you had it.
Exactly. And this movie is almost exactly the same thing.
Really?
Except you don't have sex in order to make the other person it. What happens is you have to do something very vicious in front of that person, and then it'll move on. So it opens up with a woman, and she's in her 30s, and it's actually Kevin Bacon's daughter who does a really good job in this
really?
Movie. Yeah, and she plays a psychologist who goes in to talk to this young girl, and the young girl has just seen her professor hit himself over the head with a hammer and kill himself in front of her. So she's distraught. She thinks that somebody's out to get her. And she starts talking in the room and says, you know, these things wear masks and you know, they're all telling me I'm going to die. And she's like, nobody's here right now. And then as soon as she says something, a vase breaks, or a vase, if you want to call it a vase. A vase breaks and she picks up pieces of the vase, and this girl proceeds to off herself in front of the psychologist, to put it the easy way. Before going down the real horror hole here. And so all of a sudden, she sees this, and she's traumatized, and it passes on to the psychologist who you follow through this film. But it was interesting in the fact that, okay, there's characters that show up and like, okay, this is kind of woke, and then they actually take turns with these characters and move it back into classic horror of 10 or 20 or even 30 years ago. So it did have some pretty good scares in it. And had a pretty good story. It wasn't super original. The music was fantastic. Whoever did the music for this movie, it was just a great, great soundtrack that was really kind of... It was silent, and then all of a sudden the music came, like a you know an old classic horror movie where everything's quiet, and then all of a sudden the scare happens as soon as the music like jumps at you, too. But I would say go see it. It's pretty cool. It's a cool little movie, and... just a bizarre movie, and the way that they did this promotion for this was pretty cool too. They ended up taking some, they ended up hiring some actors and actresses, and they bought a bunch of like World Series seats from behind home plate, and they were all just smiling at the camera during the actual World Series. I'm like,
wow.
That's pretty cool. So they bought out like a bunch of seats, so you saw all these people like smiling in the background and not moving during the World Series. And that's one of the ways they used to promote this movie. But yeah, it's pretty good. I think it's worth seeing.
So what tied the movie to the title?
I should mention that too. So basically what happens is this entity just looks at you and smiles and says you're going to die. And so it could come as anybody. It could be you're basically hallucinating. So you think that you're standing with your friend, and then all of a sudden your friend is the entity who's like talking to you and making you think something's happening that's not. And it turns out she's got her own trauma from like years ago. She saw her mother pass away, so she is able to fight the entity in ways that others have. But she is able to find a prisoner who has escaped the entity, and she finds out the only way he escaped it was by murdering somebody. So when he murdered somebody, he did it so brutally that the other person that saw him murder them, they ended up getting the entity. So it was pretty interesting, but you know, it's very base too.
Yeah.
Like I said, marginal thumbs up, but it was an actual horror movie that I'd seen, and I'd say a true horror movie. But it didn't have a whole lot to say about anything. You know, like, you know, Banshees is a much better movie, I thought, but it's also not a horror movie. It just has horrible things happen in it. Like taking off your fingers with shears is pretty horrible.
Yeah.
In the background, Star Wars. What kind of wars would you want to be in? Probably the Star Wars.
Yeah. Because
then you get a saber or, you know, gun, get laser gun.
And if you're a stormtrooper, you don't have to practice with the gun.
Right.
Yeah. You're not going to hit anything anyway.
No. You been watching this Andor?
The what?
Star Wars Andor?
No.
No. Yeah. It's okay. Me and Derek, we're going to be doing a real horror show, Star Wars. And we're going to be playing the holiday special live.
Oh, nice.
And then we're going to talk about some other Star Wars stuff. But, yeah, that's going to be happening in the next couple of weeks. We're supposed to do it next week, but I can't come in next week. I got to go see my mom.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How is mom?
I don't know. I'm going to go see her. But we were supposed to do it next week, but I think we're going to do a repeat show.
All right. So
we'll see.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I'll probably just eat. Hang out with mom, have a turkey.
There you go.
That's about it. Nothing special. How about you?
I don't know yet. Devin is going to come hang with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to think of something fun to do.
You going to go out? You going to cook?
Check with family. And if no family, then we'll find a nice place to go out.
Yeah.
We'll see what he wants to do, you know. He's a kid.
Well, since we're not going to be here for Thanksgiving, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is coming out. Derek usually likes to talk about, like, releases of the week. They're doing a Planes, Trains, and Automobiles 4K, like UHD, UHF, whatever the hell it is. It's got, like, an hour of new material on it.
Really?
With John Candy and Steve Martin, yeah. And I love that movie. Best Thanksgiving movie of all time.
That was a great movie.
Yeah. And very funny. And it was interesting at the time just to see Steve Martin play the straight guy, because he pretty much didn't.
Yeah.
To have John Candy be the, you know, be the more bold of the two, I guess. But, yeah.
John Candy was great in that movie.
Yeah. I love John Candy. A lot of people didn't really like him. They didn't think he was that talented. I thought he was super talented.
Yeah.
I thought he was just hilarious. And he was pretty much the same guy. That's what I heard from like all the interviews with people that knew him. They're like, yeah, that guy that you saw on the screen was pretty much the same guy.
That's,
you know,
cool.
Just super, super nice dude. Well,
gone too soon.
Gone too soon. Yeah. That's a real horror show. People gone too soon. You don't get to choose, though. I don't know if anybody does. If you believe in God, I guess God chooses. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know either.
Yeah. I think in one lifetime, say you live to 100 years old, how many wars do you think a person sees? Well, an American, you think of an American, they saw at least three, right? Four. Korean, Vietnam, World War I, World War II. Maybe if they were a turn of the century person.
Yep.
Now they'd be 122, so, you know,
yeah,
if they were born in the turn
of
century.
If somebody was born in 1900.
Yeah.
And
old enough to go to war, they probably went to war at 15, 16 for World War One.
For World War One, then again at World War II, and then you had Korea, then you had Vietnam.
Yeah. It was like Nicole Kidman ducking bullets in WW1.
And then you had...
Dodging the gas.
The Gulf War.
Yep. Getting... Yep.
So...
Gulf War, yeah. Desert Shield. Is that what counts?
And we can't forget Granada. That was a hell of a week.
Granada. You blink and it was over. Yeah. Yeah.
So, it's like, what, five or six, depending upon how you want to count them. That's just one we were involved in.
Yeah. Yeah. We should play some this or that. We've been doing a little bit of this or that.
Hey, we've been touching on this or that.
And play Fever in the background. Because of the coronavirus, we'll play this for the coronavirus.
I like to play this or that with my dates.
This or that? What happened? Do you like to play this or that? It's a great, I think it's a great horror game playing this or that.
Yeah.
Because you just decide, you know what, which one of the two horrors are you going to pick and how are you going to survive? That's what this or that's all about. And as soon as I find the actual this or that thing, we can play this or that.
There we go.
You ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go.
I have been dying to play this or that since the last time we played.
I'm going to give you a this or that scenario, all right? Let's pick a war. All right, Civil War or Vietnam. Which one? Which one you want?
Oh, let's go Vietnam.
Vietnam, all right. So this is this or that for Vietnam. You are on a PT boat going up the river, and you have 100 of the enemy coming at your boat. They're all on shore, and you only have 2 road flares, and you have 1 gunner, and or you are with your buddies, and you're in the jungle, and you're approaching a village, and you have no idea if the village is friendly or not. And then a plane comes and drops a whole bunch of bombs and maybe some Agent Orange. Which one do you want to choose, and how do you survive?
Oh, I'm going with the patrol boat. I got a gunner and 2 road flares?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and it's only 100 people?
100 people shooting from the shore at you.
Yeah.
What do you do?
First off, you shoot 1 road flare on to each shore.
Yep.
To just distract them. You have the gunner going back and forth, and you hit it because those PT boats...
Yeah,
they scream, man.
Yeah,
those things. They used to be loaded up. You'd start out your patrol with 6,000 gallons of fuel.
Wow, no kidding.
And you had 10 hours, and if you weren't back in the dock in 10 hours, you needed to be towed because you went through 6,000 gallons of fuel.
Yeah,
those things screamed. The PT boats. I saw one recently. I took a road trip to Virginia. A buddy of mine was looking at a boat, and it had solar on it. He wanted me to check out the solar.
Yeah.
And in the yard was one of the 6 remaining PT boats from Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is incredibly long.
Yeah.
And it's like 70 feet long, and it's got incredible amount of power. So, yeah, I would definitely do that, and you'd be able to speed away.
Yeah. Just book it up the river.
Book it up the river.
Be done with it. And go visit Brando for dinner.
Yeah, yeah. You'd be Brando for dinner in no time.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to give you this or that. Stuck with Brando on a rowboat with only 10 gallons of ice cream in one mouth. Or stuck with Nicole Kidman for the weekend, and she's got 20 different types of bats and bugs to eat. Which one you want to hang out with?
Oh, I'll go with Nicole.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Think so? I'd hang out with Marlon. I'd be
with only one mouth, you can't talk. He's going to use the mouth just to eat.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. I just feel like, Marlon, what's your favorite role? And he'd just be like eating. I don't know. I'd rather watch Marlon Brando eat ice cream than Nicole Kidman eat bugs. Oh, well. That's debatable, too.
Just because
she was very suggestive when she was eating the bugs with a couple of mealworms going down. She was, like, enjoying it.
Just because she had the bugs doesn't mean you had to let her eat them.
That's true. That's true. All right.
I was thinking outside the box there.
Yeah.
Or outside the bowl, however you want to.
Yeah. All right. How about Naomi Watts eating pizza, and she shoves the pizza in your mouth, and you're choking. That's the first horror scenario. Or you're with...
okay, not so horrible.
Or you're with Nicole Kidman, and she has the lady from Thailand with her, and she takes bats and, like, throws them in the room with you, and there's 100 bats, like, flying around in the room with you. Would you rather escape from the pizza scenario or the bat scenario?
Oh, I'm going the pizza scenario all the way.
Yeah.
Because, you know... It's going to take a lot for Miss Watts to choke me with pizza.
That's true. That's true.
I will be eating it the whole time. She's going to have a lot of pizza.
Yeah. I think she would be playful about it too. I don't think she'd really be serious about
hurting. Based upon the picture
it.
Of her on the
she
on
looks
the
playful.
Couch with the pizza. Yeah. She would be playful and
she was in King Kong's hand. You know, and she played Kong pretty well. I think she can.
Yeah.
I think she's a playful woman. Let's put it like that.
Yeah, she can handle the beast within me.
Yeah, I think so. The background, Everlast, put your lights on. So, what's your favorite holiday? You got one? Mine used to be Thanksgiving. Not so much anymore. It changes when the family changes.
Exactly.
Right?
Because it used to be Christmas,
right?
But then...
Yeah.
You know, you get older and it's just like, okay.
Yeah.
Christmas just means packing up to go visit family.
Yeah. Work, it means.
It's just a lot of logistics that for very little payback.
Yeah. When you were a kid, you just had to walk down the stairs.
Exactly.
Now, as an adult, you know, you got to buy stuff, you got to put things together.
And you got to drive hours
drive
and hours.
Drive places, to, see people you don't want
to
see.
See people and,
yeah,
you know. Then your brothers and sisters talking about stuff you don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So now, favorite holiday? I'm going with 4th of July.
Yeah, I love 4th of July. I love watching things blow up safely.
We got...
From a distance.
We have, typically you have a good party.
Yeah.
And there's good food.
Yeah. The weather's nice, usually.
We get to blow some stuff up.
Yeah.
And the weather's warm.
So. Yeah. What do you think the fascination is with explosions, with boys especially, more than girls?
I don't know. Cool.
Yeah. Or if you're fluid. I mean, do you like explosions? I would assume everybody loves a good explosion.
Everybody loves good fireworks.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Some of my best times as a kid was blowing stuff up, right?
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome.
There's no question about that.
I remember throwing a jumping jack up in the air, and jumping jack was one of those things that would spin on the ground.
Yeah.
Super fast, you know, and it would, you know, be red or green, you know, create fire, and then it was make a zzz, and then it would be done. Yep. I threw one of those in the air, and when you threw it in the air, it would just take off like it was a bird or like a hummingbird in flight. And it landed right in my buddy Mike's hooded sweatshirt, right in the hood.
Oh.
And these things ran hot, like real hot.
Oh, yeah.
So as soon as it landed in his hood, it just burnt the hood. So all of a sudden, I see my buddy Mike, like his hood on fire, and he starts running through the woods. And it was both horrifying as well as hilarious.
Yeah.
And luckily, he was okay. The sweatshirt didn't really make it. It ended up burning a good hole through. Because these things are like road flares.
Yeah.
I mean, you get that flame on there. It just lasts a few seconds, but it burns hot.
And Mike obviously forgot the stop, drop, roll.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He literally didn't stop, drop, and roll. He put his hands up,
and
he literally almost did jazz hands in the air running through the woods, which made it even more comical.
Exactly.
It was awesome.
Worst thing you want to
do. He became Jolson. He was like Al Jolson. Like, all of a sudden, he's like doing his jazz hands.
Now, talk about blowing stuff up. There is a place in Texas, and I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can go, and for an inordinate amount of money, but still, once in a lifetime, you get to drive a Sherman tank and shoot it.
Nice. How much?
$3,000.
That's not bad.
And so...
Comes with the ammunition, the artillery? Yep. Comes with the shells. Yeah. Nice.
I think you get one or two shots on that, and you've got like 40 rounds on the grenade launcher or something like that.
Wow. 40 rounds in the grenade launcher.
Or
what do they have? Like watermelons and fruits and things?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm just like, this is the coolest thing. And I've got business in Texas, so I'm like, I am doing this.
That would be a fun date for like Nicole Kidman and Naomi Watts. Bring them along.
Bring them along. Because I can bring like four or five people for this.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to get to shoot, but they could ride.
Sure.
Eat some bugs while I blow some stuff up.
Yeah. It's like, you just sit there and eat some mealworms, and I'm going to blow up some stuff for you. And then afterwards, we'll go see a movie. What do you think would be worse? Parachute not opening in World War II, and you land like in the trees and you don't know where you are? Or a boat blowing up and you get stuck in the sea and the sharks around you?
Boat blowing up is the worst.
Yeah, I think so too. You're in that unknown of the water and you don't know if you're going to get picked up and those sharks are in
sharks
there.
Sharks everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And
horrible.
You know, if sharks are anything like mosquitoes, they're going to be attracted to me.
Yeah. Yep. Band of Brothers, great movie.
Yes.
A great TV show that was on HBO.
Yes.
Docu-series, pretty much. Was it really a docu-series? It
was
fictional,
close.
Right? But it was good. And that was Tom Hanks, and I think Spielberg even produced that with him. But, yeah, good stuff in there. So, yeah, Thanksgiving next Thursday, right?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Turkey, probably one thing about Thanksgiving, the best meal of the year, even though July 4th's got the dogs and the burgers and stuff, Thanksgiving probably the best meal of the holidays.
Yeah, best turkey I ever had was actually one of those, what do they do, the deep fried...
Nice. Yeah, you did that?
Oh, yeah. My boss did that.
Nice.
And so he bought one of the deep fryers. We had it outside.
Yeah, the super dangerous.
Super dangerous.
Yeah.
Only added to the fun.
Yeah.
But...
True.
It was the tastiest turkey I have ever had in my entire life.
Yeah.
By far.
How long did it cook? He cooks in like 25 minutes.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, it doesn't take that long. It
takes like an hour
or two, right? The bird wasn't frozen.
Yeah.
You can't be frozen, but...
Yeah. Derek was talking about not brining birds, but I don't know. I like a little brine in my bird.
You got to brine the bird. Why wouldn't you brine the bird?
Yeah.
Derek, come on.
Get a little juicy. I don't know. He does these like traditional values like he's from 1742 or something. I'm like, what are you talking about? Just eat the thing and make it good.
Yeah, if I can
go
make
to KFC.
It taste better.
I mean, even the Colonel makes it better than you. In these old-time recipes.
Yeah, not into the old-time recipes.
No. Stick a couple.
I'll go back a couple
of mealworms in that cavity.
Yeah, I'll go back as far as Grandma's apple pie.
Yeah,
not Grandma's pumpkin pie.
How was that? Good?
No, actually, I got that backwards. Grandma made good pumpkin pie. She made horrible apple pie.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Like what did she do to it? Kept the
overloaded,
worms in it.
Overloaded the cinnamon.
Oh yeah, yeah. Then no.
To cover up the mealworms, but
yeah,
yeah. My grandma cooked with lard.
Ugh. No, actually, it's pretty tasty. Yeah, my great-grandmother did that.
I never saw anything like that. And it's like, no wonder Grandpa died at 55.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people would have cabinets with lard, like a big thing of lard.
Yeah.
Just sitting there. I mean, cook everything with lard.
Open up the refrigerator, and there's a thing that says lard. And I don't care. I love butter.
Yeah.
But, you know, you see butter, and you generate a certain mental image.
Yeah.
And then you see lard, and it's like...
Here's an insult you haven't heard in a long time.
Yeah.
Lard ass.
Lard.
Remember
there
that
you
one?
Go.
You remember lard ass?
Lard ass.
Yeah. People used to say that one all the time. If you had a little weight on you, lard ass. And Stephen King did it with the blueberry pie eating contest. And was it Stand By Me? Yeah.
Yep.
And he called the guy lard ass, right? And lard ass eats all the blueberry pies and starts throwing up on everybody.
Yeah.
True horrible scene, but he gets his revenge. He was like Khan almost.
Yep. That's true. That's true.
He gets his revenge.
So.
That's a horrible scenario. Would you rather be thrown? I mean, getting thrown up on, just watching somebody throw up is disgusting.
Right.
Thrown up on
is worse.
That's pretty bad. I don't know. I'm going to get, let's do a this or that. Would you rather get thrown up on or, let's see. Well, it was. I don't want to get too gross, but yeah.
Can't do too graphic.
No, we don't want to get too graphic.
So the question is,
who wants to get thrown up on? Nobody.
I've
had babies throw up on me plenty of times.
Yeah, it's not the
same.
My
friend Dennis threw up at his bachelor party. I've only seen a projectile vomit once, and he did it, man. It was like 8-9 feet, like straight.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like horizontal line. It was crazy. I'm like, how does that happen? Like he threw up so hard. We were at a strip club and he went out and he had to pee. And then he was just wandering around. I'm like, are you okay? And he turned and he looked at me. And I'm like, oh, no, he's going to throw up. And so I had to duck. I almost, like, shielded myself with my hand. And then he finally turned last half second, luckily, and he didn't throw up on me. But he turned right toward the strip club, and it was a brick wall. And his vomit shot out 6 to 8 feet into a horizontal line. Never seen anything like it. With enough impact that it splattered against the wall, and it kind of, like, you know, got on our shoes a little bit.
Oof.
It's horrible.
All right, so this or that. Would you rather be... Here's the scenario.
Yep.
You're on an intercontinental flight.
Yes.
You've got the window seat, which is nice.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
You're nice and snug. The woman in the middle seat got some bad bugs with her dinner.
Okay.
And vomits all over you.
Ugh. While I'm in the middle seat.
No, while you're in the window seat.
Oh, I'm in the window seat. She's in the middle.
She's in the middle seat.
Who's on the other side?
That's her her doting fiance.
Oh, okay. Oh boy. All right.
And so you're now covered in vomit, or
all right.
Or you have to go spend 6 months with your ex.
Oh, I'd take the vomit. I'd take the vomit. I don't even have to think of that one. I don't even have to think of that one. I'd take the vomit any day. I'd let her throw up on me for 6 months rather than spend any time with my ex. Yeah. Wow, you got me there. That was an easy one. That was an easy one. Yeah, no, I'd rather be vomited on endlessly.
Yeah.
I would actually smile knowing that I've, you know, I've avoided a bullet on that other one. Yeah. How about a good little war, Rumpel? Did you ever get into a good little war when you were a kid or anything? You remember any barnyard, like schoolyard rumbles or something? Do you remember a good little war? As you know, I mean, I've had a couple little wars that I've told you about over the years. I've had my own little run-ins with people over the years. But you ever have a good brawl? I mean, you're generally a kind, loving person. You know, you don't seem to get into many fights with people.
No. I did not. Generally did not didn't get into many fights with anybody but my older brother.
Mm-hmm. Fist fight?
Oh yeah, we used to go at it when we were younger.
Yep. Bruises?
Yeah.
Fifth Dimension in the background, no love in the room. Just in time for Thanksgiving.
There you go.
So fisticuffs. Like scratches? Did he fight dirty?
No, just
older, younger?
He's older.
Yeah.
So he always won.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my brothers were all his asses. I pretty much only got into, like, actual physical fight. Only with my brother.
Yeah.
And it was mostly because he didn't understand where I was coming from. Almost every time. Like, two real good brawls. That's about it. But, it is interesting, though, as time goes by, you become more like the guy in Banshees of Inisherin, and you're just like, yeah, you're boring. I don't want to deal with you anymore. I think people do grow, but I also think people also get to that point. Like, this is the extreme thing in this movie when the guy's just like, I want to write a hit song, you know, on my fiddle and be remembered for my music. Nobody's remembering the guy from 200 years ago that was nice to his family. Nobody cares. So he wants to be this godlike person that is remembered.
Yeah.
And I think that's inherent in a lot of people, especially a lot of people that are creative, especially. I mean, we did stand up for a long time and saw a number of creative people, and there's people that are just BS crazy, you know, some actual geniuses. And then there's people that have no right to even be in the same room on a microphone because they're so awful, you know, and yet they keep coming back. You know, what was surprising to me was seeing some people come back that just got worse, you know, and it's like, geez. When you learn to do something, you usually get better and better, and you saw people that just got worse.
Yeah, practice is not... If you don't try to learn and improve, then you won't.
Yeah. What do you think... So, we've been on Earth for a little while, you and I.
Yeah.
If there were a war, say we were both in World War II, what do you think... What would you want to go into? Infantry? Navy? Air Force? I've never really given it a lot of thought. You go first, though. What do you think you would want to do?
I would have loved to gone into the Air Force.
Air Force?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have died, but I would have gone.
I probably would have been collecting tires, like for the towns. I would have been a good shopkeeper.
Yeah, there you go.
I would have been good at like rallying, like doing a rallies, like a rubber rally and a, you know, buy war bonds guy. I'd probably be that guy. I probably would have done that.
You could have done a good job with that.
I probably could have done all right with that, yeah. Buy war bonds. Yeah. Frank Capra with the Why We Fight series, man. The propaganda films for the U.S., man, those are great. They're so good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if I had to go into the military... I would go Air Force, I think. You know? It was funny. I had, like, a guy, you know, was a Marine. And the Marines didn't exist in the 40s, right? They were invented in Korea, is that right? Or they go back as far as the 40s?
Oh, no.
In World War II?
The Marines just celebrated their 200-and-somethth birthday.
Oh, okay. And they were part of the Navy at one point or something, right?
They're still part of the Navy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So I'm trying to think of some other group that was relatively new.
The Air Force was invented in the 40s. It became the Army Air Force and then became its own branch. I think it was after World War II or towards the end of World War II.
Yeah. Yeah. What about if you were a kid? Well, we were kids, but Vietnam was around while we were both alive. What do you think you would have done in that one? You listen to WMFO in Medford.
I mean, the PT boat would have been fun, or a helicopter pilot.
Yeah.
Still not sure I would have made it out, but, you know, being a helicopter pilot would have been cool.
Yeah, I think that would have been fun. I don't know.
Better than
as fun as it could be.
Better than humping
probably
through
horrible.
The,
yeah.
Better than humping through the jungle.
Yeah, more likely I'd probably been like with Charlie Sheen and his buddies in Platoon just smoking weed out of a gun, you know?
Yeah.
It's probably more the case of what would have been happening. In Civil War, I probably would have been just stuck. Like, imagine being that guy that had to, like, put the pots and pans under the people losing their legs and arms.
Ugh. Yeah.
Like, I'd be the pot boy or something in Civil War. Like, not even a surgeon, just sit there and have to clean up. Ugh. Awful. A lot of horrible things have happened in this world and in life. A lot of horrible things are going to happen in the future, but I think processing it is good. I think talking about it is good. I think figuring out what you would do in certain scenarios may prepare you if you come across a horrible situation. It may prepare you.
Yep.
May not, but it may. Any closing thoughts before we go?
No, I'm kind of drawing a blank here. This is not good.
Would you like to hear a war song?
Yeah, let's do one of those.
How about a favorite war song? Maybe, I don't know. How about, and then they do like Surfing Bird or something, and Surfing Bird, the Trash Man, didn't that show up in a Vietnam movie?
Oh.
That's a good one. You know what I mean? The bird is the word. Doesn't that show up in Full Metal Jacket?
I think so.
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's easy enough.
But anything from Good Morning Vietnam.
Yeah, that's true. Good Morning Vietnam, good Vietnam movie.
That was
not a great
good,
one, but
a,
good.
Robin Williams was great in that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, everybody's heard about the bird.
Say, this one's good. Doesn't it make you want to, like, get on a surfboard and, you know, sail into the Vietnam beaches? It's great stuff. All right. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Real Horror Show. Chris Earl and Winston Kidd. WMFO, Medford, Massachusetts. Thanks for coming in, Winston.
Thanks for having me.
And I'll see you again soon, everyone. We are off next week. We will be playing some kind of repeat. Happy Thanksgiving. See you in a couple weeks.
It was a normal day.
He was in some minor accident, a fender bender.
And I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't, because I thought I could call him later that week.
He abandoned the car, he came home, and he shot himself without ever talking to anyone.
When I came home that night and I found her, they told me that she had shot herself. And I couldn't believe it.
I asked if he was okay.
Taking a gun into your house for protection is a terrible myth.
Once you pull that trigger, that's it. There is no coming back.
65 Americans a day die because of suicide. Store your gun securely.